boys from Oakland, California, the mighty Tower of Power, bringing us back from break. Don't forget, towerofpower.com is their website. Of course, Emilio and the gang hooking it up since the 1960s. Yes, they are old, and so am I. This is Ring Talk Live Worldwide. Who am I? My name is Pedro Fernandez. I am your ever so bubbly host this morning. Of course, coming to you on Ring Talk Live Worldwide from the Sports Byline Studios, San Francisco, California, each and every Saturday and Sunday, 11 a.m. Pacific time, live on Sports Byline, iHeartRadio, Sirius XM, Satellite Radio, Channel 217, of course, and like a thousand other internet platforms, including the Twitch.tv live broadcast, of course, Twitch.tv, Sports Byline USA, that's the channel. So we take it from the West Coast to the East Coast and bring in, of course, the Bronx Bomber himself, boxing's PhD, Mr. Socrates Palmer. And how are you on this lovely afternoon, sir?
I'm doing great, Pedro. How are you feeling?
I'm better than Evander Holyfield.
I think Evander's ego was hurt more than he was physically, thank God. But that was a situation that was kind of cringe. If that's the trendy word.
I'm going to interrupt you right away. I wouldn't embarrass myself like that. I mean, he didn't show no boxing basics. Hector says to me, well, you know the dude trains a lot. He's always in shape. Well, he says he's always in shape. But he wasn't in boxing shape because the jabs that he threw, the way he threw them, where the jab started from like below his chest or his breast, whatever you want to call it, okay? But it started below his chest, and then it came back even lower than that. So obviously the mechanics were like way, way, way off. They weren't even close to being right. And this Vitor Belfort guy, of course, he was going to destroy Oscar De La Hoya. And I think that's why Oscar went to the hospital, because he got chicken spit and went to the hospital instead. But anyway, Vitor had the one combination, and he let it rip, and Holyfield fell into it. And that was all they wrote.
Yeah. I mean, it wasn't that much to analyze. How long did it last? About 90 seconds?
Something like that. But at least, when Mike Tyson went 91 seconds or 93 seconds, of course, he made a believer out of Michael. No, he made a believer out of Michael Smith, Michael Spinks in 91 seconds, and he made a liar out of Carl the Tooth Williams in 93 seconds, okay? So Mike knows what it's like to do the minute and a half type of thing. That minute and a half thing with Holyfield last night, had Mike Tyson been in there, Evander Holyfield would have been carted out. He would have been like a pizza. Flat like a pizza, a non-breathing pizza.
Yeah, I mean, Evander, you know what? I always try to look at the silver lining. At least Evander got to pay some bills. You know, he got a nice payday, and hopefully he can make it stretch so he doesn't have to do that ever again.
Well, on the bright side, they only did 160,000 homes on pay-per-view. Am I laughing? Yeah, I'm laughing a little bit because they were really pushing this. Of course, Oscar De La Hoya, he pulls out. Of course, he's a big money guy. He's going to get millions of dollars to do that. Donald Trump got a lot of money to do some ringside commentary. Any commentary on Trump in the commentary?
I guess the color commentary was worthy of the event, no? That's the best way I could probably put it.
Okay, that's a good way to put it. And let's talk about this change of subject. Get off of Evander Holyfield, old dudes, and this. Let's talk about some young dudes now. These guys from Philly, Stephen Fulton and Jaron Ennis. Ennis, you and I, we've talked about Ennis before on the show. Ennis looks like he's really the real deal. Where's he headed next?
I don't know if he has a date coming up, but I think Ennis is a very interesting prospect. You know, he's been matched very well. He comes from a fighting family. His older brother fought, and I think his sister was a fighter as well. So it's in his DNA. Sister. And like I said earlier, he's been matched well. He is probably 1B. If you really like Virgil Ortiz as the best welterweight prospect in the game, you know, Ennis is right there. You know, only time will tell. He's with Al Haymon and Showtime and PBC, and you know, they really know how to bring along a prospect. But very little to not like about Mr. Ennis this far.
Okay, little reports off the web this week that Thomas Hauser said that Floyd Mayweather, although he paid $126,000 for that World Anti-Doping Association drug testing for the Manny Pacquiao fight, that he was the one that was pushing the limit, the envelope, per se, as far as PEDs were concerned, because Hauser said he was taking IVs before the fight. Now, I'm going to tell you like it is. I took IVs before the fight, and they helped me out psychologically. I don't know if they helped me physically, but they were putting vitamin B12s and electrolytes back on my system. And I would go down, I guess for my last three or four fights, I went down to the doctor's office and got IVs the week that I was weighing in, getting my weight down, this and that. So I didn't think it was cheating. They never told me it was kind of cheating. And now Thomas House is trying to say that Mayweather was cheating by taking these IVs and putting fluids back into his body. That seems like a little bit too extreme. I wouldn't call that PEDs, would you?
It depends what's in the IV.
But I'm just trying to tell you, but we're talking water and vitamin 12, saline and water, vitamin 12, extra electrolytes.
Yeah, I think it's a stretch. I mean, I don't think Thomas Hauser is the biggest Floyd Mayweather fan. I know he was really deeply entrenched with Pacquiao, you mm-hmm. know, when Pacquiao yeah. had his great run. I've been with fighters getting literally hours after a weigh-in, they get the IVs. And like you said, I think it's mentally. I was in Germany with middleweight contender Giovanni Lorenzo before he fought Felix Sturm. And he told, you know, he would tell me like it made him feel like he took the longest nap ever, you know, and it was just getting all the fluids and everything that you lose, really starving yourself for the last 3 or 4 days like he was. So, yeah, I think that's a little bit of a stretch. Now, if you tell me that, you know, you had something in there that's not that you need a medical prescription, then, okay, you might be onto something. But I think it's a little bit of a stretch.
Okay.
Although, sorry to cut you off, there was a story years back, I believe it was Gabriel Montoya, who had some proof that Floyd had popped dirty and it was swept under the rug. So fans could Google it. I do remember that.
Back to the Holyfield thing real quick. It only did 160,000 buys on pay-per-view, so obviously they took a beating. I mean, even if they only paid Evander Holyfield $600,000 and Vitor Belfort got $400,000, they're probably not going to make all their money back with 160,000 pay-per-view buys. But yet that other thing, the Triller thing, they did good numbers this week, or at least they're claiming to have done good numbers. Did they?
Well, Triller has their hands on a lot of stuff. I mean, this week they had they've been doing the hip hop battles. Mm-hmm. They have Fat Joe and Ja Rule.
Who won that?
You know what? For the consensus, I see a lot of people leaning towards Ja Rule. You know, I mean, I'm a fan of both. You know, it's at the end of the day, it's just like that mutual admiration society. You know, so it's like giving guys that have not been on the radio in a long time, kind of like reminding people, hey, they're still alive. And they had it at the Garden, good atmosphere, the home of hip hop. So it was a win-win. And they also announced Teofimo Lopez and Kambosos is coming to the Garden on the 4th.
Right. Well, as long as you don't put Bruno Mars in the ring, we're cool. That's my pretty boy. You let that boy be pretty. You let him do his thing. Don't lay a glove on him. You hear me?
My daughter loves Bruno Mars. Yes,
Don't lay a glove on him. Of course, and that's what's. I'm getting cracks, and there's somebody in the studio laughing at me here because I've got this. I adore. Actually, I'm enamored to an extent with Bruno Mars. I think the fact that you know I saw Michael Jackson, I saw Luther Vandross, I saw you name all the great singers. I saw Sinatra. I've seen a lot of these great singers. I don't think anybody's been able to put it all together like Bruno Mars has, and that includes Michael Jackson because, you know, Michael didn't play all those different instruments like he plays. Michael didn't write a whole lot. Michael wrote but didn't write a lot. Quincy Jones helped him out with a lot of the big hits. And Michael was a freak sexually as far as his liking boys and that kind of good stuff. I ain't got to worry about Bruno and boys.
I think he's probably the most talented dude since Prince. Is that fair?
Yeah, that's, you know, him and Prince and Jackson, him and Prince and Michael Jackson are probably all up there at around the same levels. But the bottom line is, man, I am absolutely blown away by this guy on TV. And, of course, Prince, I got to see when he was hot, the Purple Rain tours. I was a cop here in the city, and I got to go to every single concert as a plainclothes policeman. It was pretty cool. That was pretty cool back in. That was a good run. No doubt about that. Let's take a break right now. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide, a.k.a. WBC TV. Of course, Veev TV is picking us up now. If you're part of the Veev TV crowd, I welcome you to Ring Talk Live Worldwide. Where have you been? I've been here like 37, make that 38-plus years now, and I am the man. You think so? You don't think so? Tune in after the break. We'll talk more. Ring Talk Live Worldwide and my stuttering ass, Pedro Fernandez. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide. I was voted most likely to succeed with the future.
Now, more of Ring Talk with Pedro Fernandez.
You name the game, but anything you start, I figure to finish.
Check it. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide, 25 and a half minutes past hour. Hour number one. Of course, we only do 1 hour on Saturday. Saturday, of course, the Saturday show comes to you at 11 a.m. Pacific time, 2 p.m. Eastern time, live on Sports Byline, iHeartRadio, and 1,000 other internet platforms. Of course, the Sunday show, 2 hours. We expect the second appearance, the return, of course, of the HBO Godfather, the retired HBO Godfather, Mr. Larry Merchant. We expect to have Larry back tomorrow if he's feeling up to snuff. Of course, the laryngitis he went through when Larry... Sock, it was sort of rough. I mean, me losing my voice, I got such a big mouth, but Larry isn't a big mouth type of guy, but he expresses himself verbally often, and when he was silenced by basically a cold at the age of 90, it was a little alarming.
I remember you sharing that with me, and I'm glad the legend pulled up, you know, he kicked out, and he's still... you know, rocking and rolling. He's the best to ever have done it. And I'm really happy to know that he's going to be back on the show tomorrow, you said?
I think so. I think it's tomorrow. He was here 2 weeks ago, and we expect him to come back tomorrow.
Awesome.
Back to Tyson Fury. Let's talk about Tyson Fury has to pay Deontay Wilder $80 million if he doesn't take the fight. Is there that much money in a Joshua fight that he would skip fighting Wilder again and possibly forfeit $80 million? Is that much involved?
Wow. I think it's definitely a bigger fight financially. I mean, it's the biggest fight in boxing, you know, Joshua and Fury. But I can't see why would Fury sidestep that, you know? I mean, $80 million is $80 million, you know. And I think it would just be a very bad PR move, you know, especially after him pulling out of the fight. It's funny because I personally thought there was no need for a rematch. I mean, you obviously saw who was the better of the two. But then with Fury pulling out, and he still has this hanging over his head that he has never been he's never made a title defense. If you look at Tyson Fury's history. So, you know, he's got those questions to answer. I can't see him forfeiting an easy fight, because I do think that Wilder is an easy fight, okay. Much easier than Joshua. You know, I don't see that happening at all.
Okay. Mitch Halperin was one of the big-time referees in Las Vegas. I'm bringing this up because there was like a number of Las Vegas referees just went down as far as suicide was concerned. First was Richard Green. Richard Green refereed the Dooku Kim, Ray Mancini fight in which Dooku Kim lost his life. And he also refereed Ali and Holmes back in October of 1980. He committed suicide, I believe, in 2007. And then, of course, we have Mitch Halperin. Take that back, in the 90s, and then we had Mitch Halperin. Of course, he was another guy that refereed some of those Tyson fights. But I did his last fight on King Vision against Babis Mendoza for the WBC 108-pound title. I think that was at the Paris Hotel. I think it was under the Evander Holyfield, John Ruiz undercard. I was doing that fight with the Colonel, Bob Sheridan. But that was Mitch Halperin's last gig. And let me tell you something about Mitch Halperin. He ended up killing himself, allegedly. Him and his girlfriend had a fight over a gun, and she had blood all over. And I think she shot him, but they ended up calling it a suicide. But one night after he was involved in a Rafael Ruelas fight, in which Ruelas' opponent had died, and I criticized Mitch for that. So one night, Mitch decides to give me a ride from Arizona Charlie's in Las Vegas back to my home at the Imperial Palace Hotel, because I have my own suite there. So anyway, he gets me in the car. He locks the car doors, you know, the automatic car doors. And then he starts driving, and then he starts saying all kinds of freaky things to me, like, man, you think I made a mistake? You think I tried to kill that kid? All kinds of weird stuff. And by the time I got out of the car at the Imperial Palace Hotel, what little hair I had was standing up on end like you would not believe. I didn't ever want to be around that dude ever again. Okay, so then when I saw him on the 12th of August 2000, that last fight he did, he was weird that day. And 3 days later, he blew his head off. So anyway, something about Las Vegas referees not being able to handle the heat. And there's no mafia involved either of those guys. Talk about Richard Green or Mitch Halperin, just basically mentally inadequate.
That was, I remember, very shocking, because like you mentioned, I mean, Halperin was hot. He was getting all the big fights.
He was a chosen boy. Yeah. He was a chosen Jewish kid out of Las Vegas. And, of course, I'm not trying to say there was a lot of Jewish guys in power in Vegas, but there were. there are. And he was the heir apparent to greatness as far as referees were concerned before Kenny Bayless and all those kind of guys. And he was the guy who was going to carry the mantle. Well, guess what? After Mills Lane, didn't happen that way. Of course, he ended up blowing his head off or allegedly blowing his head off. But at the end of the day, I mean, that car ride, he was on the freeway and doing all kinds of crazy stuff in Vegas with me. And I think he was seriously trying to scare me, Sock. And I was scared. To an extent, you know what I'm saying? I couldn't wait to open the door. I couldn't wait to open the door. I thought about jumping out at one point at a traffic signal. That's how weird he was.
You know, it's funny. There's certain things that you really feel powerless, and that's definitely one of them. When you are a passenger in a car and someone is driving erratic, it really, like, gets you nervous and scared more than you thought you had. You know,
well, it's like an anxiety attack. You have no control over who's driving.
Yeah. Yes. Yes. It's a scary feeling. I've been there and not cool at all. I remember when it happened, there was rumors that maybe it was mob related, gambling debts, but you're not buying that.
Not at all. Absolutely not at all. Both guys, Richard Green, if Richard Green, he was like too dumb to be bought. Okay, he was just he was a dummy, man. I mean, that guy was like so low on the intellectual pole, it was unbelievable. But he was a nice guy and he was a competent referee. Mitch Halpern on the other side was the connected one, the chosen one, the Jewish boy that was going to take over Las Vegas boxing, Nevada boxing, the preeminent referee as far as the world's capital on boxing was concerned. And then, of course, he killed himself. And, of course, that upset a lot of people. Most importantly, me. Because I said to myself, I wanted to have a rematch with him as far as him driving me around and taunting me for 20 minutes in the car. I wanted to put him in the passenger seat of my car. Let me drive around Las Vegas at high speeds.
Sorry, you never got that rematch.
He was dead before I knew it.
Damn.
Well, he brought that on himself. It's like that. Hey, here's what's up. I'm real quick here. I don't know what the status is as far as vaccinated people are concerned over there, but all my partners that were unvaccinated now are having all kinds of health issues. A couple of them have been in the hospital. One of them is his body shut down on him. He's going to die. It's a matter of time. So I encourage anybody out there. This guy's only 32 years old, too. I encourage anybody out there to please go get your vaccines.
Wow.
And 32 years old people, I mean, people are dying here in California. And, you know, not too many. It's like 1,500 people are still dying a day from this thing. And what cracks me up is that all the people listening to the show made a big deal about 9/11. Ooh, 9/11, 3,000 people died. Well, guess what? Every other day, we have a 9/11 in this country, and guess what? You're just looking the other way. You don't want to wear masks. You don't want to take vaccinations, this kind of stuff. And I want to mention one more thing, that I went into the Garden Club yesterday, which is a restaurant in South San Francisco, to get my salad. And the lady there, her son is the one that's in bad shape as far as the COVID is concerned, but I talked with the greeter. And she's a Trump person, and she's really Republican, really anti-right-wing, very pro-right-wing and all that kind of stuff. So she told me, she had to tell me, she goes, I got the vaccine. I said, why are you whispering it? She goes, because they gave me a lot of spit behind it. Everybody was giving me spit behind it. In other words, her cronies, her friends, her counterparts were giving her a bad time because she went and got vaccinated. Can you believe that? How ignorant are these people?
I mean, but why? I mean, if she's a Trump supporter, I mean, Trump got it. So, you know, she's following suit with, you know, with what the former president did. So, I mean, at the end of the day, people are going to do what they want to do, you know, and definitely if you're someone that's high risk, that high risk population, that comorbidities.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. you definitely should get the shot, and I advocate for that.
Okay.
You know, but no one should be clowned for getting it or not getting it.
No, time out. The not getting it part, this is what screwed things up for a friend of mine. The not getting it part was another one showed up to an event where the people who were unvaccinated, she ended up getting sick again. You know what I'm saying? Not as bad as you would before, but sick again. So for those of you that don't want to vaccinate, this and that, you're running the risk of getting other people sick. In fact, kids are dying now. Some lady, she isolated herself in South Carolina from her kid, and the kid was dead within 24 hours. And here's what's up, is that they're so anti-vaccine and so anti so anti-hospital, anti-doctor, that the kid was sick and showed a fever, and they didn't take the kid to the hospital, and the next morning the kid was dead. So that's how in denial these people are.
Wow, that's reckless. That's
life. It's happening everywhere. Oh, it's okay. He's just got a cold. And then the kid's dead 12, 14 hours later because of the fact that people aren't taking this COVID stuff seriously. Now, speaking of the lightweight champion, Mr. Teofimo Lopez says that this might be his last fight at 135. We got a little upset about that. In 30 seconds left, shouldn't he fight either Vasyl Lomachenko in a rematch, I mean, or take on Gervonta Davis?
I mean, he could always fight Gervonta Davis at junior welterweight because Davis fought just now at junior welterweight. Lomachenko, I think there's something personal there. I don't think he wants to give Lomachenko the payday. I don't know if it's also a way to stick it to Bob Arum. I can't see him staying at 35 any longer. He's a big boy.
You and I are in total disagreement on that because I think when you're champion, you got to stay there and defend your title and do your business with the guys. You clean out the division and you step up. Bottom line is, I appreciate your time. Say hello to the wife. Kiss the kid. We'll talk real soon. Of course, how's Sebastian doing?
He's doing great. He's got two more teeth. He's doing great.
All right, fantastic. Socrates Palmer, folks. Boxing's PhD only on
Love
Ring
you.
Talk
Peace.
Live Worldwide Sundays, Saturdays, right here on the Sports Byline Broadcast Network. More of Ring Talk after the break.